Some years back, when my husband and I got to upgrade from a one-bedroom apartment to two, we had our first house guests come for a visit. Of course, we had had friends and siblings crash on the couch before, but now we had an office with a futon. We were moving up in the world. The morning after our guests' arrival, I was happy to find that the futon treated them well. But then one of my guests asked if she could trouble me for a hanger. All of a sudden, it hit me. I hadn't made any room for our guests' belongings. Where were they to put their bags? Where would they hang their clothes? Where would they spread out their cosmetics? I quickly did some rearranging, and all was well. But now it's something I always think about when we have people come visit. I make sure to clear out some of my stuff to give them a place in my home. Have you ever had an experience like that? Where you invited a person somewhere only to realize you hadn't made room for them? Or has the reverse ever happened to you? Probably not too often. Because unless it's a spur-of-the-moment invite, usually we think of making room when we ask someone to come. We put in the table extension for a dinner party or clear out the back seat for a carpool. For our Lessons and Carols celebration next week, great planning has gone into the music, readings, and reception. Extra chairs will fill the undercroft, and greeters will warmly welcome people in. When we invite people to come, we do things that say, "You are wanted here. There is a place for you. We've put some thought into your coming." On this first Sunday in Advent, and the first Sunday of the church calendar, our worship is all about asking someone to come. The word Advent, based on the Latin word Adventus and the Greek word parousia, actually means coming. It can also mean presence, arrival, or visit. Advent is the time when we anticipate Christ's coming. And our service began with this invitation: O come, Emmanuel. But when Christians speak of Christ's coming, we're not talking about a singular event. There are many ways that Christ comes, and traditionally three main ways that we think about it. The first is the birth of the Christ child in Bethlehem. Right now, we are preparing to celebrate that birth nearly 2,000 years ago. The second coming is what our readings from Mark refer to, or the time when Christ returns to earth to complete the kingdom of God that Jesus initiated. For centuries, Christians have wondered what this coming will be like. Will it be the kingdom of God established on earth? Will it be Christ overcoming our estrangement from God and one another once and for all? Is it Christ coming to us when we die? As Jesus says in Mark, only God knows. But the overarching message of Scripture is that this coming needn't be feared. However, and whenever it happens, it will be God's hopes for the world fully realized, and it will be greater than anything our finite minds can imagine. The third coming that we speak of in Christianity is Christ coming into our lives and our becoming aware of the presence of Christ alive and at work within us. While Advent is about a celebration of that first coming, and our gospel readings these last few weeks have focused on the second coming, it is the third coming that perhaps most needs our attention in the time leading up to Christmas. Because we say, O come, Emmanuel. And it's genuine. We want Christ to come into our lives. But while we offer prayers like this, we can ask, have we made room in our lives for him to come? Or are our lives packed to capacity? Are they like my office slash guest room, so crowded with stuff that there's no space for what this guest has to bring? Today is a time to think about where we can make some room. Is there room for Christ to come into our lives based on the schedules we keep? Are there times we're not actively doing something or thinking about what we have to do? Times when we're still and silent and ready to hear or receive whatever Christ might bring. While we can recognize God's presence even in our busiest times, there is something about removing oneself from activity that allows for a different type of communing with God. We can ask, is there room for Christ to come in our thinking? In a time when we're losing the ability to talk to each other about things that matter, we need Christ to expand how we engage important issues and show us if there's room for growth and nuance in how we think about things. Is there room for Christ to come to us in the face of the other? Last week, our passage was about how people were interacting with God through the people that they served, but they didn't see it. Is there room in our lives to take time to serve others, the dispossessed as well as people we interact with regularly? And when we serve, is there room in our attention to see the face of God? Is there room for Christ to help us? It seems especially hard in an independent, secular culture like ours to ask for help from a divine being whom we approach through faith. Perhaps we can make petitions for others with ease, but have a hard time doing the same for ourselves. So is there room to say, God, I need you to help me with this? And then is there room to listen or receive God's response? And finally, is there room to look back on where God has already helped us? Sometimes I pray and then forget to think back on that prayer down the line. But when I do, often I see how in some way that prayer has been answered. If we realize that there isn't much room, that's okay. In our prayers and hymns, we don't jump right into Christmas on the day after Thanksgiving so that we have time to prepare. Of course, the irony is that the church calls us into a contemplative season at the busiest time of the year, a time of simplicity when we're more surrounded by stuff than ever, and a time of quiet when hustle and bustle are at a yearly high. We might be thinking, with all that's going on, how on earth does one make room? Where would one find the time? I know that I can come up with many reasons why I can't observe Advent in the way I want. But it also occurs to me that every Christmas, I've always managed to find time to have my presents bought and wrapped. I've always found time to do some decoration and prepare for travel. These things are important to me, so I plan for them and I make the time. Yet every Advent, I long for a time of stillness and silence with God. I long to be in touch with what connects me to the deeper meaning of Christmas. I long to experience Advent as a spiritual season. So then why wouldn't I allow myself to do those things that would create the space? Why wouldn't I make it part of my plans? Not because I have to, but because I want to. On Christmas Eve, we will tell the story of a city that has no room to house its Savior. Through song, we will declare, "Let every heart prepare him room." Now is the time to begin that preparation. There are probably little things we can add or take away from our normal habits that would make a difference. Like taking a walk around the block to breathe in the cold air and notice those changes on the horizon. Or putting some parameters on when we check our phones, or when we have a free moment, not rushing to fill it, or asking God of help in something specific. It doesn't take an overhaul of one's life to make some room. There are small but significant actions that will help us welcome our Savior in. For those who desire it, I hope this will be a time when we can say, O come, Emmanuel, there is a place for you. Amen.